forgive us.
Okay, what are you, your birthday, Tom?
Huh?
Your birthday?
July 3rd, 1932. Darlene's in there.
Birthdays?
I will get.
Are you to Dad?
Huh?
Are you to?
What? Interview. At the same time?
Yeah. Your birthday?
1st of March, 1927.
Face.
I will get you.
This is for the Tales of the Hidden. This is going to be a book. Just want you to tell stories of any of your life experiences you can remember about Hazelton. Stories of what you did in how you interact with the white people, where you worked.
When I worked for a lumber company that was here in the 30s, up in the 20s and 30s, Hanson Lumber and Timber Company. That was the only lumber company in Hazelton in the 30s. It was a pole company. And everybody in the valley, right from Terrace up to Burns Lake, worked just for the one company. No other company. They took out cedar poles and ties mostly.
That's really ties.
Great school.
Were there any
I remember when they started building this bridge.
There was the old bridge or this new one they had?
This 1931. I was four. I could remember that when they first started it. Then I remember them tearing the old bridge down.
That's the old wooden structure.
I trapped when I was 10. Before that, I used to go with my aunt and my uncle trapping, they used to snare the squirrels. Oh, everybody done that in the village.
This is when everybody go out and trap?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't do any trapping, but I went with the old people. Near rabbits.
Berry picking. That is a lot of that fishing done down here.
Yeah. When there was lots of fish.
That was about 30s.
30s and 40s. 30. All of 40.
That's before they load a rock up.
The big rock down at the end. That was all summer.
All summer.
Just the people from the village?
No, there's people from Maiden living down the canyon. Cross. There was two big smokehouses across, and there was fence on this side too. I don't know how many there were. You remember?
So there was just native people down here?
There were two smokehouses on this side and one on the other side. Or two on the other side.
Two on the other side.
What's left of it. It used to be more than that. Brought it down.
Nothing much. All we done in the spring, part of the spring before we get busy was play ball, that's all.
You ever watch movies?
No, hardly any movies.
Sports days?
Well, sports days we go. That's in May.
That is down
Hill? Hill and then back at the ballpark.
That is before you people start fishing?
Yeah. Berry picking.
Cranberries.
So berries. Other berries. Raspberries. Oh, we pick all kinds of berries. Whatever that was. Edible.
That's the whole family used to go up there.
Oh, yeah.
I remember 1933, the last year my grandfather was alive. he used to set rabbit snare line. I used to go with him. And we used to pass the hotel. New Hazelton Hotel. It was on right where Simpson Sears store is now. And there was other old log buildings were still up. Other buildings from the construction days were still up. Like the old banks, they say, the old log buildings, the one they just tore down lately next to Chevron, they said that was a bank back in 1910.
That's that old museum?
Yeah, that old museum, that was a bank. Peter Williams' dad used to tell us about the bank robbery. How he used to be a special constable. And one morning, police came. One of the policemen came and got him. Said there was a robbery in New Hazelton, so he wanted him to go with him. So he went.
Provincial.
Old Charlie Williams. He used to arrest people. White construction days, that must have been 1909 and 10. He was a special constable. He told us about that bank robbery, how they shot them. Walk and wagon. Horses. I wasn't around.
Did you
guys just
travel
the
railway?
Yeah, I travel the railway.
I didn't.
Prince Rupert. You go to Smithers, you had to take a train. Hardly anybody drove. Everybody traveled by rail. There used to be a passenger every day, and then on weekends, Friday and Saturday, used to be a freight, you know, a local freight, they call it way freight. It used to have a passenger car attached to the tail end of it. People traveled on that. Berry picking, 9 Mile Mountain when the war started. And we're coming back, no, we're on our way out. So berry picking, and two recruiting officers caught up with us around 6 Mile. And they were looking for Tom Marshall. So we got, and there was a crew working at 7 Mile. They were the public works, people went out and I think the work, it's sort of a make-work project in the 30s, that's what they were doing. A whole pile of people was at 7 Mile, and when we got there, we told them that we told Tom Marshall that there were two army officers looking for him. So he just took off right back to his. I guess that's when he joined the army. I was 39, I think. And everybody in the village figured that they were going to take everybody they see, so they all hid. Didn't hide very long. But I don't know. Johnny went overseas. I don't know how we made out. Lots of people in Newtown went. Some didn't come back.
Did you associate a lot with people from Newtown?
Yep. All the time. People from here work for people in Newtown quite a bit. Always little work going on, cordwood. Some of them were hall contractors. Some were tie contractors, so the people from here went to work for them.
That, who would that be?
Dan McKenzie, John Pearson, George Parent.
Louis Kern's
father. Louis himself.
And Carl's dad.
Carl Christensen, yeah. Carl and his father. Gus Christensen, they all had poor contract. And then we used to cut car stakes, cordwood. People cut cordwood for the coast, canneries. In the summertime, this place used to be just empty right out. Everybody went fishing, commercial fishing. How did you, young men all went, women? Just the elders and kids left in the village. You work for King too, but you can
come
back.
What's her
We'll see.
Say
Netherwood.
Netherwood.
We'll see.
Commercial
side
or
east side? Both. Both side and commercial. Oh yeah, sometimes.
I went full-time carving. That's when there was talk of Kassan. And it started in 68. Kassan started. So I moved in there.
Where it is now?
Mm-hmm. And I stayed. I carved there until, about 70... Four, I guess, 75. You done lots of beadwork for them. Weaving necklaces, eh?
Yeah.
You remember any particular bad winters or something like that?
Oh, yes. What year was that? Sheila went to first winter. Sure, 67, 68? Must be 68. It was about 5 feet of snow between up here.
Yeah.
Aggregate. Walter took him 4 hours to get over to Aggregate from his place. Yes, to get his cat through. It was so, the snow was so deep, but it was, the base was just powdery, that's why he just couldn't move. The snow on the bottom was just like, he said, was just like sand. So he just spins.
I guess that fall on spring there must have been a big flood then.
It just melted gradually.
You ever any big major floods before?
Well, no.
Yeah.
36, yeah. 36. Big flood in Hazleton, Buckley was pretty high. It was really a flood. That's when people went around Vancouver, people going to commercial fishing, went to Vancouver.
Nothing particularly bad happened right here though.
Mm.
Yeah, our uncle named Sylvester and Joe George?
Yeah.
Would they be able to give me some stories about before your time?
What?
Would they be able to tell some stories?
Oh, about yeah. Joe George, maybe. Sylvester has a hard time remembering.
What do you remember that how it was like back in when you were younger?
Well, one thing, there was no running water, there was no electricity, and people there didn't worry about any bills at all. We never heard one person say, I have to pay my light bill or phone bill or anything like that, because you had to pack your own water, and then if you had only light was coal oil and gas, and they got that from Newtown. And it was a very close community. Everybody there visited. You can go to any house visiting anytime. Nobody, when you knock on a door, nobody came to the door. They told you to come in. Now, people come to the door when you knock on somebody's door.
Is it the same when you were visiting somebody in Newtown?
Well, it's different there. They come to the door, white people. Some of them more old bachelors were like that. They used to holler to come in, but some of them, they came to the door.
They were pretty friendly. They were friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everybody was close them days.
Yeah, even white people.
Everybody knew everybody.
Yeah. There was, in the evening, winter time, when evening came, you could hear people sawing wood throughout the whole village. It was just that ringing sound everywhere. You could hear people sawing wood, like if they were trapping or they were out cutting poles when they came home in the evening, they cut wood. There was no power saw. People getting water, getting wood.
Did you enjoy your life here?
Yeah.
You ever considered moving?
No.
But you went and seen other areas.
Yeah. Well, we worked in Kelowna, Okanagan, for one summer.
Did you like
Kelowna?
Hmm?
Did you like
Kelowna? Oh, yeah. We were in Penticton.
What did you do there?
Picking cherries and peaches and apricots.
With just yourselves?
Yeah.
I visited about every village in the north.
That is even when you were younger?
Yes. I was up in the Yukon working in 1952. When I visited, I went through Alaska to get to Yukon. Worked there for a while and ended up in Alberta.
You just working all these areas?
Yeah, working. Working a mine up there. Then worked on a dam in the Yukon.
What dam is that?
That's the dam was being built for what the heck they call it? It's a mine up in Mayo. I remember the name. I forgot the name. It's for mining companies.
When you went to that residential school in Jack, how many others from the village did went there with you?
Oh, from here was just Bert, but there was quite a few from Hazleton. Isaac, Tommy Green, Steve Moore, Buddy Morrison, Bobby and Edgar Williams.
That is a Catholic run?
Yeah.
Church here is Catholic.
Yeah.
Everybody
in. Oh,
yes.
Everybody.
We have to attend every day.
Every day.
Every day. Early in the morning we have to go to church. When we freeze in church too, there's no heat in there, just a big old stove. When it's winter time.
That's the same one that's still
standing. Yeah.
No, it was a wooden stove. Just
what do I mean? Wood stove. Wood stove. No lights. Just candle.
Gas. Light. Priest lived right now, right there. He was the same boy. He had no electricity, no wood. All he had to burn was wood. And sometimes the priest didn't have a car either in the 30s.
So he just moved it around.
Yeah.
That any priest that you remember that might be still alive?
No. Them old priests are all dead, Father Don. But one old nice priest we had, Father Dreon, in the 30s. And he stayed here about a year and he learned our language right through. Then he had to move away. He was really a nice priest. And he died in Teslin.
Where's that?
Up north. Where he left, what's where he went. And he spoke our language fluently. And I used to be his teacher mostly. I was altar boy for him and he asked me what he called this, what he called that.
That any stories that your mother or father, aunts and uncles told you? You?
No, I don't remember.
Well, all the only stories they told me is well, the true story is when my grandfather, Joseph, and another old, maybe they were young at the time, they called him Jonas. My grandmother said Father Maurice wanted to, he wanted to time somebody to climb that mountain out here, Rosh Edibuli. And he chose them. I think it was three of them, all I remember is two. And he said, my grandmother said they started out at 4 o'clock in the morning from the Hagglegate Church. And the people stayed right there. They were all outside the church. There must have been about 1910, I guess. And they went up. by noon, I guess they lit a fire just before they got to the top. They brought wood along. They lit a fire over there, just about to the top, and let the people know where they were at, so the people could see the smoke. And 15, 20 minutes later, they heard, they heard the shooting up on top of the mountain. They fired shots, or they seen smoke at muzzleloader. That's when they knew they got to the top. People were down here praying their hearts out for them, I don't know. Father Maurice, I guess, is behind it. Everybody was scared. I don't know what they were scared of, Johnny David was saying. He told me that too.
Johnny David's from Morristown.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of sports. Do you play a lot of sports or entertainment, like movies, games?
Not too many. It was only once a week in here. Wednesday night was a show in Newtown in the 40s.
In the Newtown Hall?
Yeah,
or is it
in the hall.
The old hall.
Not the one that's
down.
No, the old hall.
Where was that at?
It was down...
That's the States.
Where Stubb Whelan is living now. That's where the old hall used to be. 50 cents. Getting watch a movie.
That was on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
But whenever they have.
And it was full every time.
With everybody.
And then Saturday nights in Hazleton.
That was
Hazleton Hall.
With Wednesday
night. Yeah, and it was two shows a week. Was no TV. Oh, a little bit of radio. Was no radio here in the 30s. There's an old man living 2 miles down where OKSO was. He had a radio. People used to visit him every night, listen to his radio.
What about, do you remember any ball town there, along that area? What was it like down there?
There was no houses between. Oh yeah, there's one, that old guy you're talking about.
Taylor. George McBain. There's three houses down where the church is. Old Sendon.
Oh yeah.
And then the two houses that are still there, that's three. There's only five houses between Hazleton and Newtown. Haggegate.
Only five houses?
Yeah. Oh, six was older. Wee Martinson across the river, Red Creek. And there was no lights, just totally dark. He was scared to walk on that road. What I don't know what I was scared of. The Willens, they always stayed here. They've always been here.
Spooners, is that?
All the Spooners that are here now have always been here.
That's Bert.
Bert Homer. Hank. And then the Sergeants. The Spooners, Willens, and the Sergeants. Smith.
Everybody used to know them then.
Yeah.
What about highway construction?
Oh, nothing. It was just pensioners used to work on it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Make work projects in this area.
Thank you.
telegraph line, and we used to go picking berries. My grandmother used to pick berries in down and up in 9 Mile, towards 9 Mile Mountain. She'd pick huckleberries at the foot of 9 Mile Mountain. And we used to see the line that went through there, part of the old telegraph line.
Did you ever go up there yourself?
Yeah.
Over to where the telegraph?
Yeah, where the telegraph line ran through.
That's back in the year.
And then you could see it. If you go across there, on 2 miles, see that ridge?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it follows.
Follow right along the
yeah.
ridge.
Yeah, on top of the ridge.
And where did it go to?
And then it goes north towards Kispioch somewhere.
Up the telegraph creek?
Yeah, yeah. The wires were still around there. You could still see, if you go to 9 Mile today, you'll still see those wires.
You mean a pole is still standing?
No, no.
Wires
on the ground.
All the
some places you can find insulators too.
That is before your time.
Yeah, way before. Just my grandmother used to. In the '30s, two of the camps were still sites were still the people that built the CN.
Mm-hmm.
It was two campsites you could still see on just north of Ross Lake. You could still see the houses that time, they were still standing. So that was only 20 years after the construction was finished and we saw that. Still there, in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yes, everybody did, like I said. I first went commercial fishing when I was 13.
On a big boat or just a
small boat? 1939 when I first went commercial fishing.
Does that power boat or?
Power boat, yes. It's an old sailboat converted into a power. I went fish out of Nelson Brothers, Canby.
Yeah.
Any whites work there from around here?
I don't know. I worked in Nelson Brothers Cannery, then I worked in Cassiar, Carlisle, Port Edward.
Where's that, Carlisle?
Carlisle, yeah, it's across the Skeena on the other side. Canry. I fished there. Fished out of Tricassiar.
Anybody from Highgate that can, like, aside from LCT and Chuck and Charlie Austin, that have anybody else that's around that could give us some stories?
Willie Sebastian.
Oh yeah, Sebastian.
Yeah. LC Sebastian.
Yeah, I got her. Let's go find her phone.
Just go right to our house and move my phone. Jimmy Joseph?
Yeah, I got her phone. We're gonna go with Jack, but he needs a little.
Yeah. Jack, I think. Maybe he remembers his time in Ontario. He was in Camp Borden. He was in the tank corps. He must remember that. That's why he didn't go overseas. He had to learn more. He was pretty smart to get into that tank corps. He wasn't a private. He was a trooper. Different from the infantry. Infantry, they didn't need any education in that. But the one Jack was in was more technical.
Yeah.
back school, did he have any further education than that?
No.
Any formal, like, you know, high school?
No.
Nobody did get that.
No.
Way back then. Was there a high school down here?
Yeah.
Big one?
Just a small little one.
Was this St. Mary's school always there before?
1959.
That's when it started. So everybody, all the people from Hendy were
right in day school.
Down here.
Yeah, they call it Aggregate Indian Day School. Or Roche de Bully Indian Day School.
Where is that at?
That was one of the log houses right in the village, one I remember, one I went to. Then they moved it to where the band office is now. That was a school to start with.
That was used in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Then they moved it to where
St. Mary's.
And the whites and the one down Hedwig?
Nope.
They had their own school.
Their own school.
Was that St. Mary's or was St. Mary's building?
No. Public school.
When St. Mary's is put in that death mix?
Yeah.
That's the Catholic school. All those houses down here now are some remaining from the when we were young. Do you remember?
Not a one.
This one next door here to us?
No.
Or is that built recently?
Built recently.
In the last 30 years.
So nothing.
There is nothing left from the up to 19. All the oldest house you see here now started in 1949. The rest are all. I don't think there's anything left. The church is the only one. 1907, I think. And that was built by the Indians' money. What Johnny David said, his father was the head chief of Aggregate, August Kim. And when they made collections, even the priest wasn't there, they made collections from all the trappers. And it was quite a pile of money. She had to pack that around in her handkerchief tied. One day she told her husband, he said, gee, I'm going to lose this money. Well, watch out. She told him, I have a suggestion to make to you, she told her husband, Smogus Kim.
Right,
S-M-O-G-Y-L-G-Y-M. And she said that we can use this money, she said. We'll lend it to all the trappers, all the head trappers, so they. And they have to pay it back within the year, just like they do in a feast, with interest. So they let the word out that it was up for, that money was up for loan to trappers. So everybody borrowed that money, quite a bit of money she had. And within a year they paid it all back, and it would come up to quite a sum of money. And that's what started the church building in Aggregate.
What was your name?
Gee, I forget now. That's Johnny David's mother.
Mrs. David?
Yeah, Chief David. She's Johnny's father. He's a funny name. He calls him Roosevelt. I don't know why he calls it. His name was Roosevelt. He says. He was Morgan. So that's where the church fund started. Then my grandmother said that after it was built, every family they all bought something for the altar. Like my grandfather bought the bell that's still there, you know, that altar bell, that Street Bell. Because her son, Thomas Stewart, was an altar boy. So they bought that bell. And other people, and the same with the bell, that's the same way. They bought it the same way through collections like that.
So that's everything that the church is just made by volunteers?
Yeah.
Volunteers.
But Indian people themselves.
Not in the white community?
No. There was no white community around to donate in 1907.
How was the lumber made? Like,
they said that Mary said that the sawmill they put up a sawmill. Someone had a sawmill in Glenbow, and they saw the lumber there, and they rafted it down to Hazleton. From Hazleton, they hauled it up in a wagon to across the bridge. And then there was no bridge yet, so they had to dump it across the bridge. And the people, they said, like Joshua Holland and Mary George, they were 7 years old, and they helped pack lumber across one at a time. That even dogs packed lumber across there. So it was all had to be packed from across the river, every bit of lumber that's there. They had a small building, log building for that.
So everything was log houses?
Yeah, log houses.